Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, it's going to be a show about dreams, and I have a special co-host here. Say hello, someone. This is Karen.
Hello, everyone.
Karen Bergman's here in the studio with us. She's our special guest here to talk to Wade Gilchrist. He's a dream interpreter. We're going to read a little bit about Wade. He's been interpreting dreams for more than 15 years, and let's turn down that wonderful, wonderful song by Gary Wright. I'll just let that run a little bit in the background. He's been interpreting dreams for more than 15 years and has started by placing a classified ad in TV Guide and then began interpreting dreams over the telephone. He then organized and gave lectures on dream interpretation to help people unlock their subconscious. And today, Wade interprets dreams that are posted online on the internet, and his understanding of dream symbols comes from the Tarot and other metaphysical subjects. So we're going to go ahead and wind that little music down there. It's a good intro. And let's see who we have in the chat room. We've got Wade is out there. I see him. We have Cryptic Animal, Kathy from Kathy's Distant Echoes. We love you, darling.
Hey,
and we
Kathy.
Have Anastasia One.
Hey, Anastasia.
And so we are going to go ahead and get that. Let me get this going here. And we're operating off one microphone here, so we're sitting real close together.
Ooh.
Ooh. Okay, so we're going to have, the rules are here, we're going to have call in to tell your dreams to Wade. I think he's the first caller in from 217 area code, so we're going to go ahead and introduce him, and let's see if we have him here. Wade, is that you? Hello?
John?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. I think, this is Anastasia's mom. I'm sorry. I didn't recognize your number. I'm going to have to commit that to memory. Okay. Well, we're going to introduce Wade here online. So you want to just listen in?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We're going to go ahead and bring him on. He's the other line. I had to pick one of two, so I took that best guess. Okay. Area code 214. This is probably Wade here. Here we go.
You got it.
Okay, we got it. Hey, pretty good. Good to have you aboard.
Yeah.
Well, hey, this is interesting. You started this on TV Guide?
Well, you know, there was a time that TV Guide used to have classified ads on the back. You know, anybody could place an ad. And when I was really into dreams, I just didn't know what to do with it. You know, people were telling me their dreams and asking for interpretations. I said, well, I need to, you know, do this more. I just was really happy I was doing it. So I put an ad in the back of TV Guide. Just one simple ad, you know, do you know, want to know what your dream means? And I put a telephone number. And man, did my phone ring. So,
right.
So that was enough to really get it going. And I started doing lectures and things like that. You know, I just really, when it comes to dream interpretation, the thing you really need most is dreams to interpret. And, you know, just by getting that experience and then by going out and doing lectures and stuff, I got a lot of dreams in my library. So when I hear a dream, a lot of times it's very familiar because a lot of times we dream similar things.
Okay. You know, you've got a website here where, by the way, that I went out and took a look at it, and it's really neat. You actually have a lot of those searchable online.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, so because... you know, like I was saying, there's a lot of common ground in dreams, you know, so that if you have a dream and you want to know what it means, you can go to my website, and the first thing you can do is try searching our database of dreams. You just put in some keywords in the dream, and you'll get a list of dreams to read. And chances are you'll read my definitions, my interpretations of those dreams, and you'll probably figure out what your dream means. But if you don't, there's a way on the website where you could you know, add your dream to the database. And when you do that, then I give an interpretation for it and post that on the website too. And then you can get that interpretation because you get an email that tells you I did that. And then everybody else can benefit from the interpretation when they search for their dreams.
All right. And the site for that for the audience is www.askthedreamexpert.com. So, you know, give that, definitely bookmark that and give that a look. And we are going to take callers calling in to have their dreams interpreted. So for those of you in the chat room or listening, the number is 646-478-0377. So we'll be watching the line here for dream callers to call in to learn about your dreams. And so far we see Quinny and Cryptic Animal and Anastasia, and I think we're going to get a few more popping in. So we do have someone sitting right next to me who has a dream.
Hi, Wade.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, good.
Yeah, this is Karen here.
Hi.
Hi.
I had a dream just a few nights ago, and I normally don't remember my dreams, but this one was very vivid and memorable to me, and it wasn't really an exciting dream. But I was out and about somewhere having a party with people, and I came up, met a white dog. I was scared of it at first a little bit, but it followed me everywhere, and it seemed to be protecting me, and I just became very fond of this white dog. And I don't know why, but it was just very, you know, impressionable to me. And I felt very close to this white dog and like it was protecting me.
Oh, okay. Well, one of the most common symbols are animals. And the most common of the animal symbols are dogs. And most of the time we dream about dogs, it's because we're dreaming about people, but we're seeing their animal side through the dream. In other words, we're actually dreaming about a particular person, but we're not really, we're focusing instead on their lower self or their animal behavior. So most of the time when there's dogs in dreams, you know, they're, if they're vicious and they're attacking, it's about somebody who's been, you know, attacking you or somebody who's been mean to you or has been, you know, treating you badly. And that's the most common meaning for dreams with dogs. Now, the other thing about dogs is that often, I mean, it's not always, but often, their fur color means something. So when somebody says the color of the dog was brown or white or black or red, you know, that color is another symbol. So in the dream that you described, you actually had three symbols that you told me. You said you had there was a party, there was a dog, and it was white. All right, so those are the three symbols of the dream. A white color represents your spirituality generally, you know, trying to stay on your life's purpose. And mm-hmm. a party represents celebrating something. And to you, you said the dog seemed like a protector.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have to say that the dog is your lower self, your animal self, and right now your animal self is satisfied that you are not threatened or not in any way fearful of anything. And this is probably important because, you know, when we dream about when we have dreams, what we're dreaming about is our emotions. Our dreams come from the part of our subconscious that really is our emotional self. And when we remember a dream, it's a message about what is this current state of our emotions. So it seems mm-hmm. the dream is just telling you right now you seem to be very calm and at peace and not very concerned about security or fears, and perhaps fears from the past or issues in the past where you were worried about your security or being attacked or something like that, maybe even spiritual attacks or something like that where you were worried about bad spirits, something like that. That seems to have passed because the dream seems to say that you are now safe and secure.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. We have one from Cryptic here in the chat room, and it says, Cryptic says, I dreamed there was a field of elephants all laying out in the back with their legs up in the air, and these elephants were all lying in straight lines just waiting for someone to come tickle them on the belly. And I don't know if this is with, I don't know how serious a dream this is, Wade, but we're going to go ahead and go with it.
Well, I mean, as I was saying, animals are your most common symbol. And the type of animal means a certain type of particular characteristic. Like dogs are generally about people's lower selves, elephants generally represent something big. And a lot of times it's a big problem that you're dreaming about or a big obstacle. There's been dreams posted to my website where people have elephants blocking their view or something like that. And that often means, you know, they've got something in their way, an obstacle that they can't even see around, so they don't know where they're heading. This dream, you know, if real, it means like there's like a line sort of made by the elephants lying on their back or some kind of mass of elephants. And to me, that would mean, you know, there's some immovable, the dreamer feels there's some very immovable obstacle in their way. They said out back, you said, so like in their backyard or something. Laying out their back. Oh, laying on their back. Okay, so it just means they're lying on their back. Yeah, I would say there's something really huge in their way, and since the elephants are definitely lying on their back, they're not going anywhere, so it's just another something that agrees with the fact that these elephants are huge and they're creating a block for the dreamer. Now, somebody to come tickle their belly, you know, that's, again, they're looking for some way to get that obstacle removed. Now, what it seems like the dreamer is saying that they're waiting for somebody to come do it, so the dreamer doesn't feel like they're the one who has the power to remove the obstacle. They're waiting for somebody to do it for them. So somebody's got to come and get that block away from them. And so perhaps they're being restricted in some way or being not permitted to do what they want to do, and they need somebody to take that block out of the way and give them the permission.
Okay. It seems like it was a serious dream. I think Cryptic was really being serious with us. So we'll see what Cryptic
is
saying.
I got to say that our dreams are sometimes very funny. you know, people tell me sometimes, you know, they had a dream and they actually wake themselves up because they're laughing, you know. They trigger all of our emotions. So sometimes I wake up laughing sometimes in dreams. You know, I think something's funny. Sometimes I dream of music in my head, and then I wake up and I try to remember the song or write it down or something. It's just, it triggers a whole battery of emotions. And the dreams can be very confusing. They can be very funny. They can be very odd. You know, weird things can happen in dreams. You know, that elephant could even be flying in the air in some dream, you know. So very strange stuff.
Well, I had an odd one myself, and this happened just in the last several weeks. And basically, I used to live in the town of Paradise. I live right now in a town called Shingle Springs outside of Sacramento. So Paradise is about 80 miles from here. And I had been a boy living there, and so I suddenly found myself in this dream back there, and I'm driving a car. And I end up... God knows how this happens. You know how you just go from one scene to another in a dream? It's like you don't remember parking, getting out, there.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the car driving, and I was on a road I remembered very well from Paradise, and suddenly I'm in a martial arts school. And I walk through the door, and there I look, and there is a master martial artist standing there who is talking on a cell phone. And in front of, you know, there's a whole class that's sitting at attention, and there is a student sitting on a single bar stool, sitting there receiving instruction from the master, and the student also has a cell phone, and they're looking at each other, and the master is gyrating wildly, looking at this student, who's looking terribly confused. And I'm standing in the doorway going, what in the hell is this? And that's when I woke up.
Okay, well, you know, as we talk about dreams, people are going to hear a lot of symbols that they've dreamt, and they're going to get, you know, an idea of what their dreams mean from hearing these. So, like, one of the other most common symbols besides animals is cars or driving a car. And we all have this dream because we all drive our life, right? It's the way we drive our life or the way we're moving on our life. And whenever you're driving a car, it's to illustrate this dream is about how your life is going and where you're taking your life. Now,
would that also go for airplanes also?
Airplanes are different. Airplanes have to do with things that go in the air represent your thoughts. I'll get back to that in a second when I finish this dream, and then I'll tell you about airplanes. So when you're driving a car, it's not, it's not about moving or things like that. It's more of a spiritual movement, you know, how you're progressing in your life, where your life is heading next. If you have a purpose or don't have a purpose, and where that purpose is taking you. Okay, now when you have phones in your dream, they're pretty obvious that they're a symbol for communication. Okay, and a lot of times people have dreams where they're on the phone or they're trying to dial the phone, but they can't get through. You know, they're not able to reach that other person. That's really common. And that means you're probably frustrated with your spouse or somebody in your family. You can't get them. You can't get the message across to them. They're not taking your message. You know, you can't reach them. You know, so that's what phones don't mean. So in your dream, you had a car and you had phones, and then you had the martial arts. Okay. And first of all, let's talk about the bar stool too. The boy on the bar stool. Okay. When you dream about people in your dreams, particularly ones you don't know, then they're manifestations of yourself most of the time. Okay? So when you look at other people, you're looking at yourself in certain situations. Okay? So the boy on the bar stool definitely represents your childhood, particularly because you said you went back into your old town for this dream. Right?
Yes.
So the boy on the bar stool is definitely you. And you're on the phone trying to learn something or get some kind of message, and your teacher is trying to get, you know, getting frustrated, okay? This means that you missed something in childhood that you were supposed to learn, okay? That there were some lessons there that you didn't quite absorb, and it's okay, but there was some, the message of what you didn't really learn in childhood is keyed by what the class actually was. And the class was martial arts. And martial arts teaches, number one, discipline. Okay? So there was something about discipline that you had to learn later in life that you kind of missed as a child.
That would be true. I've had a recent 2 years of learning discipline the hard way. Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, then that's what the dream means. Now, getting back to planes are... A good way to remember your dreams when you have different things is there's four basic elements. There's earth, air, fire, and water, right? And if you have a dream about air, that's the element air. That's about your thoughts, right? If you have a dream about the earth, it's about physical things. If you have a dream about water, it's about your emotions. And you have a dream about fire, it's about purification and cleansing your life. So airplanes, they travel through air, so the dream is about your thoughts. And generally, a lot of times people tell me that they have dreams that planes crash, and that means that they're having some kind of plans or some kind of plans that they're making or some kind of project they're working on that they really are thinking is going to fail. So subconsciously they're thinking this is going to fail, but maybe consciously they're thinking they have all positive thoughts for it, but their dream is telling them that they really believe it's going to fail. Okay?
One trying, like, flying low kind of seems never to be able to really get off the ground. It gets up, but just kind of never goes anywhere.
That means you're thinking that your plans are never going to get off the ground. That what you're hoping for or something you're desiring to happen is never really going to go. Again, what these dreams are about, these dreams are not a prediction of the future. That's one thing people get confused about. Everybody likes to think that we're psychic in our dreams, and our dreams are telling us future things. They're not really. What they're telling us is our current emotional state. So it's what you currently feel about this project, right? So you currently feel frustrated that it's not getting off the ground. That's what the dream would mean.
Mm. Well,
makes sense.
Okay. Again, for those who want to call in and get their dreams interpreted by Wade, the number is 646-478-0377. Or if you want to type your dream into the chat room, go ahead and do that, and I'll transcribe it and post it to Wade. Hello. Oh, is Anastasia's mother is still on the line? Yes.
Oh, good.
Hello? I hear her, but she's kind of fading in and out. Okay, well, we'll just wait for her to come back on. Wade, I was remembering a couple of other things. Different kind of dream. This was back in 1995 that I had this happen to me. Now, my grandmother had died in May of that year, and I actually had a visit, what I believe to be a visitation from her. And in this dream, there was nothing else shown to me but a picture of her. She had the same disease that I'm trying to think of the guy who played Arthur in the movie Arthur. What was his name?
Dudley Moore
had the disease where you basically become locked in your own body. My grandmother had the same exact disease, and she finally passed away in 1995 after a long illness with this. And what had happened was, 3 months later, I was, at that time I was married, and was just, in bed one night, and I had this amazing dream of my grandmother coming to me. And in it, I just saw the upper half of her. She was surrounded in orange, and she was a Scottish woman, very, very much Scottish. Oh boy, it was Scottish, she had red hair and these flaming, just green eyes. They were just crystal. And that was how she was in life, and it was just this way in this dream. And she was just smiling at me, and she was just beaming. And it was the most intense dream I've ever had. It was just this feeling of, I just got the feeling she made it, she was fine, she was letting me know she was okay. That, I believe, and a lot of people say this is fairly common after someone passes. I mean, I'm not so much asking for interpretation, but do you see a lot of this?
Oh, gosh, yes. Yes. When you have a dream about somebody who's passed, it's often people trying to figure out, am I dreaming of a real experience or am I having a dream about that person? Is it something that you're creating subconsciously or were you having a visitation? And there's some things you can do to kind of figure it out. The first clue is, are you still in your bedroom? Are you dreaming about being where you are when you fell asleep? And are there a lot of symbols around? Like if you are dreaming you're at the beach suddenly and there's dogs playing and you're all playing with your grandmother, that's a dream, okay, because you're having symbols tied into there. But if you're having a real experience, then there's actually not much of that. It's normally pretty much you're just – everything is normal except this person is there. And one thing that happens that really confuses people – is we often have dreams that are called wish fulfillment dreams. And there's a lot of dreams like this, but dreaming about a dead person can sometimes be a wish fulfillment dream. And what that really is anytime you have something that you really want badly, something that you really desire, but you believe totally that you're not going to be able to have it, that it's impossible to have, it's impossible to occur, then you get these dreams called wish fulfillment dreams where those things happen. And this is very common with like say you like say you're a girl and you like a guy, you dream about being with that guy. If you're a guy, you like the girl, vice versa. You have a dream that you're with them, although you really never talk to them in real life. But those are wish fulfillment dreams. And the same thing can happen with people who've died. If you have never really gotten over their death, you can have a wish fulfillment dream where they never died. Oh, they're back in your life. Everything was normal. I was just on vacation and now I'm back. That kind of thing. That's a wish fulfillment dream. But what you described sound more like a real experience, which are very common too. But again, there was more than just a visitation because there was some symbolism or there was some picture she wanted you to see. And again, the picture of her means there was an image that was important. In other words, there was a message behind her being there. She wasn't just being there to say, hey, I'm okay, wow, I'm over here. It looked like there was a message. And what it tells me is that because there was orange around her, that she wanted you to do something with your creativity, right? She was concerned that you weren't doing something that you was creative, or you're considering something creative, or you weren't being creative enough, because orange represents the color of creativity. Green eyes, you said she had them when she was alive, right? So that probably doesn't mean anything, but green is generally the color of love, and since they were standing out, it was showing that she loves you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, it's funny because I was 3 years later, I separated and then divorced in 1999, and in that time, my creativity actually took off, and I ended up, I work in the defense industry, and I wrote a package for file management that became real famous, and is used all over the world now, and that sealed my my name in the business, and so I became well known because of it. And also got on some other people's lists because I made them look bad. But so anyway, yeah, that definitely did come as a consequence. And I always got the feeling she was a little worried about how things were going, because things were just starting in my life to kind of spin the wrong way.
And
yeah.
Now you're being a creative talk show host.
Yeah, I'm doing creativity now. There's no doubt. But you know, I like that. I mean, I was her first grandchild, and so she and I always had this special bond, you know, and I was just really relieved to see she made it. That's how I felt, you know. And it was funny, out on my website, you guys, listening in the chat room and Wade, when we actually scattered her ashes in 2002, we actually have a photo my niece took, and over the ashes, about 4 feet up, are two brilliant orbs in the middle of daylight. Just under this shade of this tree, I have this picture of these two brilliant orbs just moments after we scattered her. And we cannot explain these. So I actually posted that to him. I'm still looking for an explanation. And, I'm kind of in my heart. I just feel that was her eye. But anyway.
Probably her and somebody else, if there's two, right?
Yeah, matter of fact, we felt there were other family members. It's actually a traditional spot that we do our family scatterings, and up in the mountains in the Sierras. And so, yeah, I had a feeling it was probably someone else, coming to get her and kind of letting us know that she was there. But we have, let me see here.
John?
Oh, yes.
May I ask a question?
Go ahead.
This started happening when my mother passed away, and I started getting these visions of like doves or light or just like gold sparkly, just waves and waves of this filtering down, coming down like from heaven, and sometimes it would be white or gold or bronze colored or even red. And now I get it all the time. I got it when my husband passed away, and now I get it for other reasons, and I just wondered what that would mean. And now it's like sometimes it goes into the shape of flowers, and it makes designs now where before it reminded me of trees or like doves coming down. And I just wondered what that meant.
Well, did you say they were visions or they were dreams? What do you mean by a vision versus a dream?
Vision is entirely different than a dream.
Yeah, you're not sleeping when you have it, right?
Right.
Okay, that's what I just meant. Okay. Well,
like taken off into another realm.
Right. Yeah. This has to do with dreams somewhat, because when you go into your dreams, you're in a different part of your mind, different part of your consciousness. And when you're having a vision, you're probably in another one of these altered states of consciousness, not the same as dreams, but probably somewhat related to the dream state. And what you are probably getting is how dreams are a vision of our subconscious, what's in our emotional side and what's in our subconscious mind. You are probably getting a vision, which is more of a vision, a picture of what's in your spiritual mind, more of your, you know, enlightened mind, or what do you want to call your higher self, almost your connection to that. And you're probably just seeing the flow of, you know, spiritual energy coming into you. You know, because we all get this energy that flows into us. You know, we can get energy from eating food, but that's just for our body. But for our soul, we get energy from the spirit realm and our higher self. And you were probably getting a vision of that, because the gold and everything represents, like,
mm-hmm.
You know, wealth, abundance, you know, energy,
mm-hmm.
high energy.
Also
what it feels like.
Seeing pages and pages of writing, and it's becoming more vivid. It's not that I can read it yet, but it's becoming more vivid.
Well, you don't really have to read it, because what it just means is, along with this energy, you're getting information. And information can come in all kinds of ways. It could just be symbolic information. It could just be feelings, you know, getting a feeling to do something. Or just, you know, intuitively just knowing something that you shouldn't know. So it's probably, you're probably starting to get information. You're probably getting intuitive messages, perhaps for yourself, but perhaps for other people. So you might be able to start, you know, helping people, just knowing things that you shouldn't know, or giving information from the spirit realm or the higher realms, based upon your connection there being so strong.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Okay, we've got some dreams from the chat room, and I have Kathy here from Kathy's Distant Echoes, and she's got a great show, by the way. Has a lot of interesting guests on, including myself once a week with her on Thursdays. We have a lot of fun. But she dreamed that she was floating around a town from the turn of the 19th century, and she floated right above people's reach. They were always trying to grab her, but they just couldn't. And she wanted to float clean away, but couldn't. And the sun was brightly shining, is what she's saying.
Okay. We have a dream that, you know, there's clues that it's about the past. There's clues that, you know, she doesn't really tell us why, but she says the town from the turn of the 19th century, so there must have been old buildings or, you know, very old automobiles or people on horseback still or something like that, and the clothing. And we have when you have dreams that have that type of element, where there's nothing modern in it but just old stuff, it's usually a dream about the past, but more specifically, it's usually a dream about past lives. So when you have a dream about a past life, what your subconscious is trying to do is trying to get you to understand that something in your life currently is being affected by something from a past life. And if you don't know about that past life or don't get some understanding about that past life, you're going to remain baffled. You're not going to know where that's coming from. You know, for example, you know, you may not know why you're suffering in a certain way or having a difficulty with relationships or difficulty with money or whatever, and it seems to be a repetitive thing your whole life. You don't know that it's karma. You know, it's result of something from a past life. So in this dream, you know, she's floating right above the people's reach, which means she's highly influenced by this past life, but not to the point where she is being pulled back, but she can't escape it either. So in other words, you know, she's kind of just caught in an in-between state with regard to this past life. She's still held back in her current life by it, something she's still obligated to fulfill this karma, but at the same point, she's not going to fail and just get dragged back into that same experience. So what she has to do is try to understand that instead of trying to look for an answer in this life sometimes about, you know, why is this thing happening or why do I keep getting stuck in this way, the answer could be that it's past life. And it seems like this dream is telling her definitely there's something about the past life that's affecting her life now. The sun was brightly shining means that this is an illuminating dream. It means that this is an important one to follow and understand. It's some truth that she needs to grasp. And it's a good chance that once she understands the meaning of dreams, she's going to have more dreams that explain more about the specifics about what happened that life. But certainly, it tells me that this is a past life dream. And these are not as common as regular dreams, so don't always interpret dreams as past life dreams. But if there's enough symbols there that point to the past, it's probably a past life dream.
Wow. I'm going to hear about this when I talk to her next. I call her. This is good. I want to see what she says on that one. We have one here from Quinny. And Quinny is saying, and I'll just read this as it was written. I had one a while ago, John, that I turned into a sudden short story in Ireland. I think it was with... I thought it was going to be Bigfoot. I was with a boyfriend. I don't know. I don't know this BFF stuff. Come on. A boyfriend, and he went to hug me, and someone was following us, got shot in the back with an arrow, went out of the body, and it was weird at that point. It felt like there was a rope tied around me. I was pulled backwards and flew up and over the trees and over, I believe, a castle and orchard. Then everything went black. And I noticed that the guy that was watching us wasn't there, and I had where I had last seen him. So I suppose that he's the one that shot the arrow. Strange dream.
Yeah.
You want me to repeat that? Because it was.
Yeah. Well, it went a little fast for me, but.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. I just realized I've got to reread that. Quinn says, I had this dream a little while ago, John, that I turned into a sudden short story in quote, Ireland, I think it was, with a boyfriend. He went to hug me, and someone was following us. I got shot in the back with an arrow, went out of body, and everything went weird at that point. It felt like there was a rope tied around me. I was pulled backwards and flew up and over the trees. And this says, and castle and orchard. Then all went black. I noticed that the guy that was watching us wasn't there where I'd last seen him, so I suppose he's the one that shot the arrow.
Okay, well, first of all, gosh, we have a lot of dreams about relationships. Probably, because our dreams are a state, because dreams are reflections of our current state of our emotions, man. Relationships are like the number one thing we dream about. So, this dream is about being with somebody in the present, like a boyfriend, but at the same time there's somebody behind her, somebody following her. Now, when you talk about somebody behind you or something behind you in a dream, it means time-wise behind you. So it means somebody from your past. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, getting shot with an arrow from the past means she's hung up on her old boyfriend, or the old boyfriend's hung up on her. And being pulled away from the new guy means, again, she's not going to find the new guy or not going to be able to have a new guy until she can resolve her issues with the old person, the old boyfriend. And the castle and all that stuff, these are in the orchard, these are symbols for a perfect life, a perfect happiness and relationships all being beautiful and everything. She flies over that to see that this is what she wants. But actually it seems like she's being pulled back beyond that, past that. So she's being pulled back into a bad relationship potentially. So she needs to pay attention.
Wow. So, Quinny, be careful. I've got one that's been a recurring dream every so often in my life, and this I haven't had it in a very long time, but it for a while in my life this played every so often. And when I was a boy, we had an old blue Studebaker. You remember those? It was a kind of ugly car, but it was reliable, and Studebakers, you could keep them running forever. And we had this old four-door blue Studebaker with quarter panel damage, never got it fixed. And in this dream, I'm a little kid. I'm in the back seat, and my mother is up front with my Uncle Brian, who has since passed as of a couple of years ago. And they're both talking, and they get into an argument. And they're arguing over who's driving. And we're on a mountain pass, and it's one of these mountain passes that, you know, it's the infinite drop to the small speck of a river down at the bottom. And I'm in the back going, what in the hell are these people doing? And they both get in an argument, and they say, well, the hell with you all. I'm not driving. And they both jump in the back seat with me, and I'm looking terrified. And they're holding me down because I'm trying to scramble over to grab the wheel. You know, at least I could try. And we go over the cliff, and I go all the way down this long fall, and I wake up every time just before we hit bottom. And when I would wake up, I would fall out of bed, literally. I would wake up on the floor. Okay, so there it is. What is it?
Well, the falling part is a really common thing also. But
okay.
Before I tell you what that means, let me go through the whole thing so you can – I don't want to spoil the surprise. But you had this dream as an adult, right?
Pretty much from about my mid-teens all the way through to somewhere around my mid-30s. It's been a while.
Okay.
I'm 50 years old.
It started when you were in your mid-teens. Okay, this kind of dream makes sense when kids have this. A lot of times kids have this dream. You know, as I was telling you before, when you have a car in your dream, you know, it's about where life is heading. You know, in the case if you're not the driver, then it's more like where are you being taken? You know, where's your life going? Where are people taking you in your life? You know, so
mm-hmm.
in other words, you don't feel like you're the one making the decisions. You're being taken by somebody else. Now,
yeah.
What happened in this dream is you didn't trust the judgment of the people who were making those decisions. They couldn't agree on who was driving, which means, and they were driving near a cliff recklessly, so you felt they weren't qualified to make decisions for you, that you needed to be the one driving, and that's why you tried to grab the wheel. And it started in your teens. Well, that's a common thing for teenagers, right? You know, they start to get independent. And they start to doubt their parents, and they want to start doing their own thing. But it continued into your 30s, which means you had a significant problem with, you know, taking responsibility for your life for quite a while.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did. Period there where I was just refusing to deal with a lot of parts of my life that I should have, and life kicked my butt, and I had to get out there and take responsibility for it. So, you know, lesson learned, but yeah, it finally quit happening, and now I've been rowing my own boat and happy as a clam doing it, so I'll make my own mistakes. Plenty of them, too.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. That makes sense to me.
Before we forget, I want to mention the book, right?
Yes.
You know, we're here talking about dreams, and if you're really interested in what we're talking about, there's a book that I wrote that has more than 100 dreams in it, all different types, and I've taken them from the website and putting them to books so you can kind of read the dreams and their interpretations and how you get these interpretations, you know, what symbols, what the different symbols mean and how you put it together. And so if anybody's interested, the book is called Dream Interpretation by Example by Wade Gilchrist, and it's on Amazon.com. It's also on that website we talked about, AskTheDreamExpert.com.
Okay.
Wade, now where did you learn to do this?
Well,
how did you figure out
the interpretation? There wasn't a book like I wrote back then, but there still were, like, you know, what they call dream symbol dictionaries or dream dictionaries, where you can kind of look up the meanings of certain symbols. So I started trying to learn dreams from that, and I found that didn't work. I couldn't get meaning for my dreams that way. And, you know, at the time of my life, I was looking to try to evolve, you know, my intuition and trying to get more spiritually connected, you know, personally spiritually connected. And I thought dreams were very fascinating. They seemed like they were some kind of message. Anyway, I eventually found that the best information came from Edgar Cayce. If you don't know who Edgar Cayce was, he was a well-documented prophet who lived in Virginia Beach earlier in the last century. And he did a lot of dream interpretations in his channeling. And so actually, when I, you know, having given the Dream Dictionary a shot, I tried looking at that, and these made a lot more sense. I mean, this the dreams were explained, just like I'm explaining the dreams now on the air. And it turned out, you know, that got me started in the right direction, where really what I learned was the way you learn how to interpret dreams is by interpreting dreams. You know, basically, you have to study them and try to figure them out. And, you know, since you're the one who created the dream, you know, the first thing you would think of is, okay, it shouldn't be that hard to understand if I created it. The problem is there's a gap between our conscious mind and our subconscious mind. And, you know, when we fall asleep, conscious mind goes asleep, but our subconscious comes to the surface, and that's where we get the dream. But then we wake up again, we're back with our conscious mind, and our subconscious mind is no longer speaking so clearly to us. So it is kind of hard to understand, but when you get to do it, you just practice over and over and over again, it becomes easier and easier and easier. And, you know, there's really three types of basic symbols. And if you can learn some of these basic symbols, then you can kind of figure out things from there. And I was mentioning earlier about the elements. Well, those are a particular type of symbol that I call an archetypal symbol, right? These are symbols that everybody has in their dreams from time to time, and they always mean the same things, like the earth, the air, the fire, and the water. And then there's colors are also archetypal symbols, and lots of things like that. We all have like a collective unconscious that we all pull the same symbols from. The second type is what I call a societal symbol. It's like people who are in a certain group share this symbol. Like say, okay, let's say, for example, you're dreaming about, you know, Mork from Ork, right? You know, anybody who watched Mork and Mindy would know what Mork from Ork means. People who didn't watch that show wouldn't know. Right? So you can use, your subconscious can use symbols like that. And then the third type is personal symbols. Like, you know, for example, John's old hometown, you know, was a personal symbol. You know, having your relatives in the dream, these are personal symbols. And these are all really specific to a person. So you're really, when it comes to those types of symbols, you're the best person to understand what they mean. However, I can still interpret people's dreams because I can intuitively figure out, you know, what those are. Again, it's just a lot of practice, but some of it has to do with intuition. And that's basically how it came about. And then, you know, just by doing more and more dreams, it came really good. And then I started this website so people could give me dreams and I could do more and more interpretations. And, you know, it took off from there. And then I got so many dreams that I made a book out of it so that people could, you know, easily read the dreams and learn how to do it themselves.
Well, I must say, you know, I've listened to other people interpret dreams and I've read books. And I really must say that yours seems to make a lot more sense. Yours resonates a lot better to me, the things you've said so far, than any of them I've heard before.
Yeah, well, a lot of times people get hung up on these dream dictionaries, I don't recommend them, okay, because what happens is a dream has to be taken in context. You know, a symbol could have lots of different meanings depending upon the context, so you have to look at all the symbols together, and you really need to learn the way I look at this is dreams are like a language that you're learning. Like a language from your subconscious, a symbolic language. And the first way you learned the language that you speak, the way you learned the first language that you speak right now when you were a baby, is you just heard it a lot. You heard it over and over and over again. And so eventually you'd be able to mimic it and then do it yourself. And that's the way I kind of feel we should learn how to do dream interpretation too, is to kind of just see dreams and how they were interpreted and keep reading the interpretations in the dreams and keep reading them over and over, and then eventually you'll get it, you'll get the idea. One thing that happens, too, is if you read a book like mine or you get serious about trying to get information from your dreams, you're sending a message to your subconscious that this is my intention. My intention is to get information from my dreams, to study, try to make sense of them. And then you find out what happens is you remember a lot more dreams and you get clear messages in your dreams because your subconscious says, okay, she's paying attention now, so I'm going to give it to her. And you get a lot of information that way.
Hmm.
What are let's take a just a step back and look at what are the most common dreams that you see? What are that people have?
Well, you know, specifically, probably near the top is teeth falling out.
Teeth falling out.
Huh?
Teeth falling out. Yeah.
Wow.
Probably, that's a nightmare.
Probably one in every half a dozen person tells me they have a dream about teeth falling out.
I would never.
Usually it's something like this. You know, they're having a dream and they look at themselves in the mirror and they see, you know, look, a tooth fell out, and then another one and another one, and there's blood and blood pouring out and teeth are all falling out. Really simple and short like that.
I haven't had that one.
And they're very disturbed by that. Okay. Yeah, somebody, Anastasia, says she always has teeth dreams, she just said. Yeah, anyway, they don't mean somebody's going to die, but that's what she said. But what they, what Quinn said, but what they mean is that you're having a problem with confidence at the moment. You know, you heard the expression that you want to, you need to sink your teeth into something, you know, you need to bite down, you need to, you know, that shows like a force, a power that you have. You know, if you don't have any teeth, you lose that power. You lose that ability to bite into something. And normally this kind of dream happens when, like, you're maybe starting a new job or you're getting yourself into some kind of situation that you're not comfortable because you're maybe you're inexperienced or you, for some reason you lack your own, you lack confidence in yourself. And that's what teeth dreams usually mean. It really happens often, like I said, with new jobs and things like that, where you think you've bitten off more you can chew. Even teeth analogy yet. But yes, that's what that's a very common one. The driving one are extremely common, but they all have different meanings because people's lives are all going in different directions. But people driving is always a common part of dreams. And the dogs and animals are also very, very common. It's also very important, I want to mention this, to pay attention to the colors. I think I mentioned that a little bit. But, you know, if you're planning on learning something from dreams, then what you do is you put a pad near your bed and a pen, and as soon as you have a dream, you wake up and write it down before you fall back asleep so you remember better. But when you do that, make sure you have a little note or something on your pad to remind you to pay attention to the colors. So when you describe what happens in your dream, like the white dog, make sure you put down white, so you didn't just say dog, you don't remember that it was white, because the colors are all very important. Water dreams are, again, really common because water represents emotions, and dreams are essentially about our emotions. So people will dream about flooded streets, which means that the road that they're on in their life is flooded with emotions, which means they're being overcome with emotions and really frozen in their life. They can't go anywhere because they're just having too much of emotional stress or, you know, too many emotional things happening. Sometimes people dream of, you know, like a tidal wave or, you know, tsunami or something like that, and that means like a particular event triggering a big emotional upheaval. So I'd say water dreams are another one of the really, really, really common ones. You want to keep going or you want to ask other questions?
Well, you know, it's funny. I had one here. I was just remembered a while back. That this was at a point where I was going through a creative phase in my career, and it's not that I'm not creative every day, but sometimes it's just more so than others. And I did write this one down, and I remembered it just now. What it was I woke up and I remember I had this dream about moving into a new house. And here the really weird, strange part was that it was not my family. It was all these really nice black people who were really happy to see me. And they were welcoming me in, and they're showing me around, and everything's great. And I'm like the best guy they ever had, you know, in their house. And they're just showing me, and I'm making me right at home, and I woke up. That was it. And I had that theme recurring a whole bunch through that phase, and I always thought it was something to do with the creativity.
It's a recurring dream, is it?
It was for quite some time, and every so often I have it, yeah.
Okay, if we have a recurring dream, it's not really like what you just said. It's not like it's just because you're doing the same thing over and over again. It's, you know, a dream, once you get the message, it doesn't happen again. In other words, there's no reason to know that thing you already know. You know, why would you be on repeats if you already got the message? So a recurring dream means you weren't getting the meaning behind the dream, so you kept having it over and over again.
All right.
Okay. All right. Moving into a new house. Okay. Well, here's the thing about houses. They can have multiple meanings when they're assembled, but one common thing about the house is it kind of defines where you keep your thoughts, where you keep yourself. And if you move into a new house, it means you're changing something about your, it could be your external self, or it could be just the things that you say, you know, the way you project yourself. Okay?
Yeah.
And since you're saying it was creative, it could be that you were going in a new direction. Creative is you were projecting something new from yourself. So you were going into a new place to come up with a new way of putting your creativity into action. Now, the people in the dreams, again, since you don't know them, they normally people you don't know are just different manifestations of yourself. So, for example, if you're dreaming about a family you don't know, you know, it's about perhaps your youth, it's about your elder, your older self, your more mature self, it's about your parenting side, it's about all of your different qualities. And the black people, you know, the fact that they're, this color is black, again, every color is important, right? The black people essentially mean that you are getting something from the void. Okay, when you have the color black, it represents absence of things. So it represents like a void or gap, you know, like something that's not there. And so basically, you are creating something from nothing. Okay. Like, in other words, if you were seeking, you might have been seeking of some kind of inspiration. You know, you might be seeking a source for this creativity, some place to get information from. But what the dream is telling you, there is no source. You know, your mind is putting it together from itself. You are the only source. So don't look for some external source, some inspiration. It's all right. You have it already inside of you. Just go and do it.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah,
because I was going, at that time, I was just really kind of entering a whole new realm in my, you know, I was writing software at the time, which I continued to went into a whole new direction at the time, as I remember it. And I basically was struggling to learn this new, this whole new method of doing things. And, you know, come to think of it, it really kind of tapered off after I got settled in and actually got to know the new methods. And then I just, it happened every once in a while after, but it's been a long time. It's not like a current recurring thing, but it's been, you know, probably 5, 6, 7 years since I had the last one, but I remembered it distinctly. You know, I wrote some of these down. You know, there's one thing that I notice with dreams, too, and I just wonder about it is, and I'm sure everyone else has had the same experience, is why do we lose the dream moments after we wake up? You know, when we struggle to remember it, and we know sort of the gist of it, but we're like, what in the heck was that? And it's just on the tip of our brain, and we can't get it back.
Right. Well, I'll try to make it a little complicated, but I'll make it quick. Essentially, when you fall asleep, you enter into the first stage of sleep, and there's four stages. And in the first stage of sleep is a rapid eye movement period, and that is when we have our dreams.
Mm-hmm.
What happens, though, is when that rapid eye movement period is done, then we go down into the lower stage of sleep, and it's the second stage, and we go deeper and deeper, and we go all the way down through four whole stages. And the dreams happen right at the beginning. So what happens is you go through this cycle like about three times per night on average, and a lot of time goes by between the dreams and when you repeat the cycle or when you wake up. And so you've gone, you're mind has totally gone asleep. Totally, like, you know, what happens is you start off with your conscious mind falling asleep, then your subconscious coming up, giving you all these dreams, but then your subconscious too settles down. And you really get into this, like, paralysis stage where your body's paralyzed and your mind is really not very active. And so the dreams become something that's happened in a different stage of your consciousness. And so, when you wake up, if you wake up after one of these other phases of sleep, pretty much you're going to have a real hard time remembering the dreams because they weren't there when you woke up. They were gone. They were on to other things. But if you wake up immediately after a dream, you have a much better chance of remembering them. And so what you have to kind of do, now this varies on by person, because some people are what they call deep sleepers. In other words, a car alarm could go off right next to them. They don't wake up. And then people are light sleepers. Now, light sleepers can remember a lot more dreams than deep sleepers, right? Because, you know, if they have anything that's any kind of emotionally charged dream, they'll wake up out of it, because they're light sleepers. But you can also, even if you're a deep sleeper, just kind of tell yourself when you're falling asleep that you want to wake up after a dream. That, you're going to put this pad and this pen next to your bed, and you put it down when you go to bed. You say to yourself, okay, I'm going to wake up after my dream and write it down. Wake up after my dream and write it down. Now, if you wake up after a dream, don't go and do anything. Like, don't go to the bathroom and try to come back and write it down, Don't have a lot of other thoughts. Just, barely move enough to get the pad and pen and then close your eyes or focus on the dream and write it down. And that's how you get a lot of details. Now, one of the weird things that happens is when we fall asleep, we actually lose the last few minutes of our conscious self, because as our conscious self turns off, we kind of get an amnesia right before we fall asleep. So the weird thing is, if you have a dream and wake up and remember it fully, you totally remember it, but then you don't write it down, you just let yourself fall back asleep, even though you were consciously awake and thought about the dream, you're still going to forget it because you kind of forget the last few minutes before you fell asleep. So you got to write it down, okay, unless you get up, unless you say, well, that's it, I'm done for the sleeping, I'm going to get up. Then you'll remember the dream a lot longer. But if you let yourself fall back asleep, you probably won't remember. In fact, you won't even remember that you woke up.
If you tend to wake up during like the third and fourth stages of sleep, you're most likely not going to remember your dreams then.
Yeah, you're not going to remember your dream, right. So you got to program yourself to wake up after a dream. Now, another trick you can do is this. Like, so if we go through these cycles, all night long, say you're waking up with an alarm clock, right, and say you have that alarm clock set for 7 o'clock and you're the type of person that says, I never remember any dreams. Well, the problem is that you're probably going to bed at a certain time and waking up at a certain time every night, and you're always in that cycle where you're not, after having a dream, waking up. You're in one of those deeper cycles. You can change your alarm clock. Try changing it to a different time and see if you're catching your dreams. So a simple thing would be like to change it to like 7:30 or 6:30 or 6:45, or try going to bed at a different hour. But try to adjust your, you can fool around with your sleep cycle so that your alarm clock goes off in the middle of a dream. So that's one trick you can do.
I never thought of that. That's very clever.
You know what? I'm going to try just because I'm a paranormal researcher on the side, and since I have so many digital recorders, rather than write it, I'm just going to have the digital recorder right there and just speak it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so I think I'm just going to give that a shot because it's been driving me batty. I know I'm having these really powerful dreams. I can feel like I've been some places. With them, and they've been really exceptional. But I wake up and they're just—I know it's like they leave a little imprint of themselves. It's the most disturbing thing.
And also, I've noticed you're like half asleep and dazed, and you're trying to write stuff, and sometimes it's hard to get it down on paper with writing. So if you just say it into a recorder,
that's true. I just at least try to catch the symbols.
Yeah.
And then it'll be enough to trigger you'll trigger your memory to remember the dream. Just make sure you get the important stuff down, and then you might remember the whole dream when you start to read that back or listen to that back. you know, I will also suggest, though, that, you know, if you write it down, like, what the benefit of writing it down is that you have a, like, a book of dreams then. You have, like, a whole dream diary. And what's nice about that is you can kind of flip through. You know, you can put dates next to your dreams, and you can see, you know, what your dream was talking about based upon what happened on that day in your life, what was going on around that time. So this will help you understand your dreams. You can go back and look, oh, I had this dream in such and such date, and that's when I was going to ask for a raise, or, you know, that's when I was going to the doctor next day and I was worried about my test results. Or, and you could put the dream together with what actually happened then, and you can kind of figure out what your dreams meant. You'll learn how to interpret dreams by doing that. So it's a good thing to maybe put together a dream diary along with some notes about the date and what other might have been happening that day.
I've got one that happened to me, and it's actually medically related. I was prescribed statins for my cholesterol some time back, and they really disagreed with me. I, you know, since then I've gone on a much better method, which is niacin treatment for me, and it's controlling it really well. But I went on these statins, and when I went on these, I began to have the most horrible nightmares, and the one that kept showing up was, and it was traceable right to the time I started the medicine. And I was being chased by essentially Bigfoot. I was being running through a forest, and I'm running for my life, and this creature is after me, savage creature. It's just, there was just this endless mode of survival running and never ending, and it just never seemed to stop. And then I would wake up in a cold sweat, and when I stopped the medicine, it completely went away. So I don't know if dream interpretation would be fair in that sort of an instance, but is that something you've seen before?
Well, in general sense, we all have these health dreams. You see, you know, if you track your dreams carefully, you'll find that before you get sick, you had a dream about getting sick. And it's not that the dream is predicting the future. What it is the dream is just aware of things that have happened that you're not aware of, that are affecting your body, that are affecting your, you know, what you're doing and how it's affecting your health. Because, again, your health is controlled a lot by your subconscious mind. And since dreams come from the subconscious, you know, you're going to dream about health conditions and things like that, and things that are affecting your health. And it's very, you know, it's very common that if you start a medicine like this, that you would have a dream that if it's affecting you badly. So it makes total sense to me that you would have a dream like that. And you know, there's, you know, being chased in a dream, you know, definitely means that you're concerned about something happening to you, or somebody doing something to you, and you're running away from that thing happening, trying to avoid something happening. So to you, there was a adverse reaction to medicine. The medicine was actually doing something bad to you, and you were having a dream about running away from it. And the Bigfoot, I would say it has to do with, this will be, again, a real good symbol for a person's animal self. So I would say that the dream was telling you that this is bad for your emotional control, that the dream was that the medicine was somehow going to affect your ability to keep balanced. Maybe you were going to start being depressed, or maybe you were going to start having panic attacks or things like that. And that was going to be the side effect of the medicine.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it interfered with the certain other medicine I was on. That's what I was noticing. It was just, you're right on the money, as a matter of fact. It started interfering with... I am on an antidepressant, and you know, and the medicine I'm on is very successful. But when I began taking the statins, I was having all sorts of difficulties, and I did get further depressed. And when I went to the niacin, totally improved. So, makes perfect sense.
Can you really trust some of those dreams when you're on certain medications that can cause weird dreams and kind of hallucination kind of things? Can you really read those? Or because
okay, well, wait. Okay, here, hallucination. Okay, here's the thing is, right, yeah, you know, you can trust them, okay, but they may seem very strange. But that's just what dreams all are. Yeah. It's just that what happens with the drugs when you say hallucinations and things like that, is what the drug is doing is it's breaking down that barrier that keeps our conscious mind and our subconscious mind separated. And so when you're having hallucinations or daydreams, you're basically losing that separation. And so your conscious mind is still awake, but your subconscious mind is giving you dreams. And drugs can do that. You know, your mind is set up specifically so that the conscious mind and subconscious mind stay pretty separate. And of course, when we're doing dream interpretation, we're sort of bridging that gap a little bit, but we're doing it in a safe way. We're doing, you know, after the fact. But the reason why you have to keep them separate is because, let's say that, you know, you couldn't distinguish between your conscious and subconscious mind. Well, then, you know, if you're having a dream about flying, you're going to jump out the window thinking you're flying. So you can't have that. You can't allow the conscious and the subconscious to get going at the same time like that. So that's why we have this separation for our own good. And sometimes drugs can mess that up, you know, and break that barrier down a bit. Yeah.
What do walking dreams represent? And I've got a reason for asking that.
You say walking?
Yeah, walking. And there's a particular dream in mind I'm going to mention.
Well, if you can give me a little more detail on that, because it's not really a general symbol, per se, but it could be
well,
if there's a path involved, you know, that means something, if what kind of path it was and things like that.
Yeah, I would find myself, generally it would always be, I would be at work, and what it would be, I would end up finding that my car wasn't working, and I would have to walk home, and I would be walking through the countryside, and it would not be on the normal freeway, and I would end up having to kind of go a creative route to get home, and it would always involve all sorts of obstacles getting home, but I would always get home, and it would just be really a relief.
Okay.
And I dream would always get me home, but every time this happened, this dream, and it wasn't so much, it was the same every time, but this theme was along the same lines for a while, this dream would happen. You know?
Well, this kind of dream is mostly about your car not working, is what it is. See, the car is the powerful symbol in the dreams. I don't know what people dreamt about back in the, you know, back in the 1700s and 1800s, maybe they dreamt about carriages, and before that, maybe they dreamt about horses or mules or something. But the vehicle that takes us down our life path is a critical and crucial symbol that comes up over and over and over again. You know, and if your car is not working, that's the main symbol right there. Okay, that means that you're feeling something's not working in your life. Something's not moving. Your life's not moving forward because something's not working. And so the walking part is the consequence of that not working. And basically you're getting all kinds of obstacles. You know, you can't find your way back home, which means, you know, you can't find perhaps the real reason you're trying to do this thing in the first place. You're not finding the purpose in your life. You're not finding your home base or your identity in terms of what you're trying to do with your life. And so the walking in through the woods and everything, that's basically the consequences of feeling that your life is not moving, or there's a lot of slowing things slowing your life up and a lot of obstacles in its way.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And it's been many years since I've had that. This has just been something that happened in my it was in my 20s and 30s when I had these dreams happening. It's been a long time since that, but I remember some of these, so I'm just calling them back in.
You had a rough 20s, it sounds like.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you know, it's funny because my late 20s, I had my second heart problem, and it landed me in coronary care when I was 28 years old, and I started having all sorts of fun things, and I've been in a couple of times since, you know, and fortunately the problem's corrected. But, you know, yeah, I went through a rough patch there for a while, you know, and now things are a lot more stable, a lot more comfortable in life. And I don't have those same kind of recurring things, you know, like that. But, yeah, it was a rough patch there, you know, and some of those things were coming through pretty regular dreams like that. You know, the statin one, though, that bugged me the most, because every time I'd go back on it, my doctor would go, you really need to take the statins. And then I'd take him and Bigfoot would be back. And I'd be going, it really sucks. So we're going to go to Niacin. And then she's like, oh, okay, we'll go that way. And so I'm a lot happier. But, yeah, that period of my life was tough. But it sounds to me like that's pretty common for a lot of people. You know, if they're going through a rough time, your subconscious is really trying to correct things.
Well, it's trying to balance things. See, what happens is, you know, this is probably important to discuss, but, you know, when we go through our life, you know, you think that you're being logical and you think that you're making decisions, you know, based upon what makes the most sense. But, you know, most of the time, you know, probably 99.9% of the time, we're just going with our gut. We're just going with our feelings. And, you know, like just say, you know, a simple thing would be like, you know, okay, I need to have something to eat for dinner. I open up the refrigerator. What do I feel like having today? You know, what would I like to have? You don't think about what's most healthy, what's the nutrition I need. You know, you think, you know, what do I feel like having? And so our emotions are with us all the time, and that's the way our subconscious communicates to us when we're awake. It's through our feelings. Now, you know, the subconscious has a recording of all of our past programming, all of our past experiences, all of our feelings about our past experiences. It has this huge wealth of information. It's like a gigantic database, right? And, you know, it can't really tell us that in every situation that we have in life. You know, it can't give us a dump of all these past experiences and tell us all the consequences of them. It's too much. It would overwhelm our conscious self. So instead, it just gives us a feeling. It's like you just feel, oh, you feel fear for some reason. You don't know why. Or you feel, you know, anxiety, or you feel confident, or you feel, you know, love. You know, it's all coming from something from your subconscious. It's a message from your subconscious, these feelings are. And so the real reason we want to learn about our dreams is so that we can understand what our subconscious believes. Now, what our subconscious believes is sometimes not the best thing for us, because our subconscious isn't really judging anything. It's just recording, you know, any experiences from the past. If you had an experience that made you feel really bad or really sad or really upset or depressed, then you're going to get feelings of depression or anxiety or whatever because of those past experiences. But you're not going to know when you're having these feelings that they're about these past experiences. You're just going to have the feeling. But when you have a dream, the dream can explain what's in your subconscious, because you're getting a view into your subconscious, and it can explain where these things are coming from. And once your conscious mind becomes aware of these dreams and what they're trying to say, then you get an idea of where these feelings are coming from. And so when they come again, you get an idea of how you want to behave based upon what's the right thing to do, as opposed to what your feelings are telling you or what your emotions are telling you, because you know that's something from the past that you don't need to be paying attention to right now. You're going to take this. You're going to take this job anyway, or you're going to ask this girl out anyway. You're going to get over your fears, and you're going to do this thing no matter what you're feeling, because you know that's coming from something in the past that you don't need to deal with right now, because it's in the past. You can leave it behind. And so that's really the main benefit of understanding dreams, is because you can understand yourself and why you feel things, why you do things. A lot of times your life is out of control because you're just listening to your subconscious all the time. You're listening to, you know, what it's telling you to do with your feelings and your emotions. And this is just going to keep replaying the past. So you need to get a handle of what's in there. And so you can change your life and get some power and take some initiative and take your life in a new direction and get away from your subconscious. You know, you never leave it, but you get away from it. You don't want your subconscious leading your life, right? You want it to serve you by, you know, helping you remember things, but you don't want it to tell your, you know, put your life off in a certain direction. So you don't want to follow it when you make decisions for your life.
No, at all. Not all, because, you know, it's funny. My grandfather was a neurosurgeon, and he always said that there were many different minds in one brain. And, you know, it took me a long time to appreciate that. And I think that's, you know, I just wish that when you were born, stamped on the side of you was an instruction manual for how to work your mind, you know, because I think, you know, a lot of us are getting older in life. We've learned some of these things intuitively, but you're expressing it in a way now that I kind of see a little differently. You know, I can look at it a little differently and appreciate it, because really, a lot of people diss the frontal lobes, you know, we have that, you know, are looking at the whole system and trying to make some decisions about things. But really, you're saying the subconscious you know, I'm going to try to repeat back what I learned from that, but you're saying it's playing back these things that have happened to you. It doesn't always get it right, and you have to mediate that. Your frontal intelligences have to look at this and make decisions and then feed that back to the subconscious as a partnership.
Well, I would say it's not that it's not getting it right. It's giving you its impression based upon what happened in the past. What it learned. So in other words, the subconscious, it's like a hard drive is blank. Right, and as you're going through life and having experiences, recording everything. And it's not just recording what happened, it's recording the feelings associated with what happened. Okay, so anytime you're in a situation, that's somehow similar, right, it triggers a feeling, the same feeling that you had from that experience. So it's not that it's getting it wrong, it's just that you don't want to necessarily pay attention to past experiences when you're trying to outgrow them, you know, like you're, you know, if you had something bad happen in the past and now it's keeping you back from doing anything because you're afraid, well, you need to know that you're not doing something because you're afraid because of something happened in the past. And when you know that, have that knowledge, then you can decide, well, I'm going to do it anyway. You know, you get a little strength. This is how you get brave. You get courage because you realize, I'm getting this feeling because these things that happened in the past, and, you know, my dream told me that X, da-da, you know. So that's really what its benefit is.
It's funny because, you know, I have an old trick I do, and this isn't so much a dream thing, but I have found it as a useful trick when I hit some stumbling block, especially with the kind of work I do. You know, I'm highly technical, but, you know, I'm sort of the problem solver in my job. I get all the jobs that everybody else says are too crazy to be done, or, you know, they're the kind of work that somebody else got so far and then, quote, couldn't make it work, and so it comes to me. And I'm the fix-it guy, and I'll get it, and I'll look at it a long time, and sometimes I'll just hit the wall, and I'll just say, that's it. I'll just throw it. I just say, subconscious, take it. You know, go figure this out. And I don't know how this works. It was an old-timer taught me this trick, and I really appreciated it because I've used it through the years, and I've advised others to use it. And it seems to invariably work. It may take weeks, but I'll suddenly have a flash of insight as to how to solve the problem, and it will. It just presents itself in this inspiration. I just get this emotional uplift when this happens, and it's just a wonderful thing. The subconscious has that ability.
Well, different parts of your brain do different things, as you were saying, right? Now, this is what happens. This is what happens if you are working on something, you know, with a lot of concentration. You know, you're putting all of your conscious mind to work on it, and you're really trying to focus on getting that solution. Well, when you fall asleep, you know, your conscious mind falls asleep, but the part of your brain that was trying to analyze, trying to work out different scenarios, that is not sleeping. That's still working on the problem. Okay? So that's the funny thing is different parts of your mind, your conscious mind is not aware of these things, but different parts of your mind is still doing the analysis, still trying this situation, this scenario, you know, could it be this, could it be that, and you know, you're not aware, but all of a sudden, hey, I got the solution, boom, and it tells you, you know, you get the flash. Okay, here's the solution, you know, done. It's like, you know, it's like you had this computer running in the back room somewhere, cranking on this problem, doing some loops, you know. That's basically what it is.
So it's not so much subconscious as it is I just basically threw my brain into batch mode and said, go figure this out.
Yeah, like, right. Because when we're talking about anything that you're not conscious of is subconscious, but when we're talking about conscious or dreams, we're talking about our emotional part of ourselves, you know, the parts of our brain that deal with emotions and feelings and memories. Okay, that's basically where our dreams come from.
Right. Well, that's now insight. Okay, I'm going to remember that little trick. Because I always thought it was subconscious. Now I know.
Yeah, and you know, it's also sometimes it's not. You don't even have to go to sleep. Like, you could just go and do something else. You know, you're working on something for a long time, and then you say, okay, time to take a break, right? And you go, I don't know, eat some food, and I think, you know, you go think about something else, read a book, watch TV, whatever. Then you come back to the problem later, and all of a sudden, in 2 seconds, you got it.
Yeah, that's right? How most often it happens. It's exactly that. Yeah.
Same thing is happening, yep.
Yeah, within an hour usually I get it, but for the real stubborn ones, it's the maximum it took me was several weeks. It was a really tough problem, and when the solution came, it was so simple. I was like, duh, you know. Why didn't I see that, you know? But it was like amazingly simple, and it turned out to be a big hit. And everybody goes, why didn't we think of that? Right. Wow, I mean, time's flown, but I'm trying to, let me think of this one here. Did you have any more dreams? One more?
I couldn't think of any, but I was wanting to see if you should say the name of his book again.
Well, yeah, why don't we go ahead and do that? Is the name of your book and books that you've written?
Yeah, the book is called Dream Interpretation by Example, and it's volume one, right? And as I was telling you earlier, it's a compilation of dreams from the website. And so I'm getting dreams all the time. So this is volume one. It's just like I had over 100 dreams. So I said, okay, time to put it in a book. When I get enough dreams that are different from the ones in volume one, I'll have a volume two, and then we'll see how it goes from there. So Dream Interpretation by Example is available on Amazon. But, you know, there are over 1,000 dream books on Amazon. So I recommend that if you have trouble finding it, just go to my website, askthedreamexpert.com, and just click on the link there, and it'll take you right to the book on Amazon.
Okay. And your website is www.askthedreamexpert.com.
Yes.
And are there any upcoming events for you or things that you've got you want to communicate to anybody out there?
Well, I've been doing a lot of these radio shows. And they've been going very well because, you know, if people don't know about the book or the website, it's a good way to get the message out. And people calling in with their dreams has been really a lot of fun. And I think I got one coming up soon again. Let me check my calendar. Actually, it's just on my website. I'll keep updating my website with the dates so people can just check there. But, yeah, I've been doing probably about 4 shows a month, something like that.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've had a ball with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to have you back.
I found this very interesting. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Well, we will make a point of maybe, you know, 3 months out, you know, we'll get on your calendar. I'll get in touch with you after the show, and we'll continue this because I really enjoyed this. I mean, I learned a lot. I would have never known about it. Oh, pardon me?
Make sure you write down your dreams so we'll have some more to talk about.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm going to do the voice recorder trick. I think that's going to really work, and I'll definitely do it tonight. I have more voice recorders than, you know, Carter's got pills, so I think I'll stick one next to me. And there's a book in there someplace. But, yeah, and I recommend everybody. I did take a look around at the site, and it's really well done. So go out there, and if you have your dreams to share with them, help him get that second book going and volume two, because I think that's going to be great. So I'm going to go out and order that book myself and take a look at that. Just, you know, with 3 minutes left, you mentioned it all came from Edgar Cayce when you found that out. Briefly, how did you just find out, you know, Edgar Cayce? I mean, what was the story behind that?
I was at a point in my life where, you know, I was just getting into an alternative type way of thinking about the universe and God and spirituality. You know, my upbringing was very traditional, so I had started to depart from that traditional way of thinking, and I was just like on a search for the right thing. And I believe the first thing that I came across was Shirley MacLaine's book, because she had just written that and it was just starting to get a lot of buzz, and it was on the TV and stuff. And she mentioned Edgar Cayce in there, so I think that's how it happened.
Wow, because oddly enough, that's such synchronicity. That's exactly how I got into all this. So
really?
It looks.
My first people I read was.
Yeah.
You want some more synchronicity? I'm also a software developer, and I'm also known as a problem solver. They give me all the stuff nobody else can do.
You and I are going to talk some more, my friend. Definitely. Okay, well, hey, we're coming up 45 seconds to the end of the show. So, you know, Wade, it's just been a great pleasure having you on. And, you know, you are a very great human being for doing what you're doing. And I think you're helping
you.
A lot of people. Okay.
Thank
nice
you.
Talking to you, Wade.
Okay,
nice.
And with that, thank you very much. Bye. And we're going to say real quick to everybody in the chat room, Anastasia 1, Kathy's Distant Echoes, love
bye.
You. Cryptic
bye.
Animal, hey. Dominica D'Amore, love you, darling.
Love
guest to 6204, whoever you are, more power to you. Quinny and Wade, he's in there. He's in the chat room. So talk to you guys later. 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Bye.
We had a blast.